I grew up in institutions, me, but I went over to WA when I was about four, and welfare grabbed us at five. Stayed there till, 18, and from YTC, and then adult
jails.
That's
where I first met you, YTC, I think.
No, Port Phillip, and I think 99, 2000, I think it was the first time I went there. Because I come over to Victoria in 99, I did all my YTC out in WA. I was actually in there visiting, my old man was doing life, so... I was kind of in there as a visitor, as a prisoner, but it was when I turned 18, it was like I was in a straight route, straight through. I had my 18th birthday in YTC, I had my 19th in adult jail with my dad. So,
what was life like as a kid?
It was hard. I mean, it wasn't easy. I went
hard. What do you mean by hard?
I went through a lot of abuse and that, like in the welfare system, and we didn't. Didn't have the best in welfare parents and foster parents. They were all pedophiles and rapists, and they used to torture us a fair bit. I think the worst things that were done.
You're saying us?
Yeah, well, my brother was there too, and
I still
think a lot about a lot of the kids that I grew up with, especially ones that aren't around no more, because they succumbed to suicide and drugs and things like that, because they just couldn't get up anymore and dealing with it. And the worst thing about it is, and I've been looking at it a lot lately with this Royal Commission into sex abuse and all that sort of stuff, is that they don't realise the impact that it has. You know what I mean? And a lot of the cases that they're looking at, as bad as it was for them, unfortunately, they got nothing on
the
some of the things that I've seen.
Yeah, the incidents that happened then, but the scars are
They still
forever.
There. I still live with them now, I'm back in jail because I couldn't live with them and cope with them on the outside world. I lost a beautiful, beautiful lady, my wife, because I could not get close to her. I could not let her get close to me and help me.
Explain that. Can you explain it?
Anytime anyone put a hand out when you were young, there was something bad coming behind it. You know what I mean? Like, these welfare people, they'd smile at you, they'd talk nice to you, but as soon as the door was closed, the gloves was off. They'd rape you, they'd hurt you. And they'd convince you that you deserved it, it was your fault, it was for your own good, that they were there to help you. And they'd do it with smiles. It never come with angry faces. They all come with smiles.
I spent from 18 months till I was 13 in an institution. And you build this cocoon around yourself.
Exactly.
And you don't like anybody entering your domain.
Not at all.
Yeah.
It's a protective shell, and they talk about, the impact of it and the psychological impacts, and they mention things like touch avoidance and, hypervigilance and, so I don't sleep well. I don't like people getting too close to me space, I prefer to walk up to someone and shake a brother's hand than have him come up and shake my hand.
You've got to initiate the contact.
Yeah, and you've got to prepare yourself for that too. It's not just random, Like, even if I see a brother off in the distance, I'm already mentally preparing myself for that contact before I get close to that person.
Even though you've seen this person every single day.
Even today, Kutch, when I come in and took your hand while you were sitting down, I mean, from that door to when I got to you, I was preparing myself mentally, saying, you'll be right. No, it's a friend.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing to have to carry around with every day. You know what I mean? And it is. It's every day. Even standing up in the canteen line here, one of the boys will come up, touch me on the shoulder. Man, I'm ready to spin around on him, The lesson is too, like, people say that talking about it's good for you and you should sit down with counsellors. And I've done that. In closed rooms with counsellors in jail. I've done it outside. I've done it with my wife. And as soon as you start opening a window into those emotions, it all comes flooding back. That's why you say your demeanour changes. You get more paranoid. You get more edgy. It's not because you're in danger at the moment. You're just remembering all that happened.
It's instinct, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And it automatically, your biological changes. That fight or flight response comes in, and automatically you're on guard. And like I said, that's a hard thing to live with every day. And when you've got other pressures, like in here, I've always found it's easier to live with in here for one reason. It's a controlled environment. As much as that is, it's safer in here because it's a controlled environment. You know what I mean? You've got your routine set up. You know where you've got to be every day. You know what's going to happen pretty much every day. If violence occurs, well, it's not out of the blue. It's sort of expected because that's the nature of this place. I was heading to work yesterday. All of a sudden, heard a noise behind me, instinctively turned around. There's a guy with a shiv trying to attack another guy. Don't know what it was over. It was, close as you are to me. That could have been me. You know what I mean? So you kind of expect it in here, but you put that on the outside world. There's no restrictions. There's no limitations. There's no one to come break up a fight. There's no one watching your back. You know what I mean? So you add all that in your day-to-day, you know, paying rent, paying bills, learning how to do those things. For me, I had to learn how to do that stuff, and I still wasn't that good at it. Getting to appointments, appeasing your parole officer, trying to be with your family, and still carrying all that past
with you. What was your relationship like with your parole officer? What was it? Was it strained?
This time round, I had a pretty good parole officer, but at the end of the day, she was still a part of the system that I didn't like. She was still putting pressures on me. I'd come and ask her, saying, listen, I'm struggling with a certain topic. I need help with this. Oh, no, but you're making your appointments. And she'd try and tell me that I was doing all these things right. And that's okay. You're doing all good. And I said, well, I'm not doing good. I said, on paper, I might be doing good. I might be getting the appointment. I might be doing what you're telling me to do.
It's frustrating.
But inside, I'm falling apart. They got no response to that. You know what I mean? They're not trained for that.
They're not counsellors.
That's right. That's right. But they can recommend you off to someone else, but then it's the same thing. You've got to sit down with a stranger trying to explain 20-odd years' worth of abusive history, you know, in an hour and get some help there and then. And that ain't going to happen. You know what I mean? Because as soon as you walk out of that office, you're still walking around with all that shit. And in a lot of ways, you're worse off walking out, because when you walked in, you probably had your mask on, you had your guard up, you've sat down, you've opened it up to try and get the help and explain to the person, so you're walking out more vulnerable, you know what I mean? And it's harder. You're still walking out at the end of the day and all that's still with you, and there's still no help at the end of the day, you know? They say, oh, good luck, I'll see you next week. And I'm like, what about the next 5 minutes?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What about trying to get home, carrying all this shit with me? What about walking back into my wife and having an argument about something that's small?
Completely void of...
it's going to be blown out of all proportion. And then you feel that guilt hit you like a ton of bricks, too. Yeah. Hang on a minute, I just hurt the person I loved over fighting around over nothing because I'm feeling all this other bullshit. You know what I mean? And people can't deal with that. You know, I've had a couple of relationships over a long period of time, and they've all ended the same way for the same reasons. Because I don't know how to get out of that cocoon and live a normal life. You know, I'm by definition institutionalised. I had the prosecution telling the judge I was institutionalised. You know, that's the prosecution. She wants me locked up, but she's telling the judge that locking him up's not going to work, not going to do anything. Yeah. He's institutionalised. Yeah. What does the judge do? Locks me up. Doesn't make no sense.